The following is a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
We know you would like to sit next to him in the dugout or in his office, but this is your chance to chat with the manager of the Minnesota Twins. This is the Paul Molitor Show, sponsored by Killebrew Root Beer, made in Minnesota. It's how memories are created and legends are made. Now, here are the hosts of the Paul Molitor Show, Chris Atterbury and Jack Morris.
Well, hello and welcome. It's the Paul Molitor Show. Chris Atterbury here. It's Citi Field in New York. We are in Flushing, Queens on kind of a cloudy, overcast day. The weather's been brilliant the first couple of days of this trip into the Big Apple, and the Twins wrap up a series with the Mets here this afternoon. Cal Gibson will try to back up a very good start in Detroit, as he will be opposed by what looks to be a bullpen day for the New York Mets, and it turned into a bullpen night for both teams yesterday as the teams play 12 before the Mets walk off a home run, second of the extra innings for Curtis Granderson. This is the Paul Molitor Show. Jack Morris is back in studio in Minneapolis, and Paul Molitor is downstairs here at Citi Field, and he will be joining us shortly. So, Jack, first of all, good morning to you. What a ball game last night. Two extra inning home runs from the same guy. I'm not sure I've ever seen that.
No, it was actually a really good baseball game, Chris, and unfortunately the Twins came out on the short end again. The offense just couldn't seem to muster up anything. No run support again for Irvin Santana, who pitched his heart out, did his everything you could ask him to do, and a really nice job by the bullpen last night also. It's just one of those tough losses.
Yeah, one of those tough losses. First hit of the year for a left-handed batter against Ryan O'Rourke, and obviously could not have come at a worse time. We are working to connect Paul Molitor here with us on the Paul Molitor Show. While we do that, why don't we go ahead and take our first time out. We'll take our first break here on the Paul Molitor Show. It's brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer, made in Minnesota. We'll take our first time out. When we come back, we'll try to rope in the manager, and Jack and Paul and I will have a nice little discussion here on a Sunday morning. Glad to have you with us, kicking off a full Sunday of programming across our network. We'll take a time out. It's the Paul Molitor Show on your home for Twins baseball.
You're listening to the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Welcome back to the Paul Molitor Show. I'm Jack Morris here in studio in Minneapolis. Chris Atterbury and the manager, Paul Molitor, now join us in New York. And, Paul, first of all, good morning. And last game of a fairly long road trip where I feel you guys have played quite good baseball. Unfortunately, come out on the short end of the stick in a couple games in New York, but you got to feel pretty good about the way the guys have played here on this trip.
Well, good morning to you guys. Sorry about the little technical difficulties here. The trip does seem to get a little long, Jack. I just think, time of the year and the losses and those type of things. But I think there's been some positives. Obviously last night, a game we had a chance to win. The first night here, lack of offense. Detroit, we had a lead that we couldn't hold on to. A lot of recurring themes throughout the year, but I've been pleased that we're still going out there and fighting. We're a little undermanned in terms of numbers and injuries and some things that we're trying to piece together as we get here through these last couple of weeks. But it'd be nice to salvage one here today against the Mets. They're playing well. They have extremely a lot of consequence involved in each and every game, and it's a good test for our guys as well as gaining some experience.
Hey, Paul, it's Chris upstairs here at Citi Field, and every one of the four losses on this road trip, you're 2-4, every one of them has been decided late, where it was a tie game or you even had a short lead late in the ball game. As you continue your evaluation process and watch the maturation of your young team, are you watching to see how they react in those situations, and are there things that they can learn as players and that you can learn about them being in these tight spots late in games against teams with a lot on the line?
Well, I think you can learn some things. In the short term here, guys that have made some adjustments, particularly the guys that have been late call-ups and are getting opportunities to pitch in close games, some of the at-bats some of our younger players are taking with the game on the line, and you want to see poise and calm. It doesn't mean that there's going to be, positive results every time. You just don't want to see nerves and anxiousness as a reason for something not to happen. But, we've seen improvement. Shaguas had a really nice run here where he got off to a rough start. I think Wimmers is throwing the ball well. you know, last night we got the ball in our hands of our more experienced guys with, you know, Presley and Rogers and Kinsler, and just one of those games where it didn't work out. But yeah, we're watching. I don't know how much to carry over into next spring because I, you know, each season stands on its own, but these guys are trying to make impressions and we are watching.
Paul, one of the things that I've noticed, the improvement of JT Chagois, Taylor Rogers has pitched well, Buddy Beauchures has pitched well,
yes.
And last night Alex Wimmers did another nice job. The one thing that seems to really stand out for me is their ability to come in and throw strike one when they did not do that in the games that they've scuffled in. Is that something you and Neil have really preached to them, or is it just something that they finally have realized is part of the game that can work in their advantage?
Well, I think, Jack, I think they've been made well aware of it throughout their climb through the minor leagues, the strike one importance and how it just sets up your ability to use your pitches and attack hitters and get them to expand, especially if you have high-end stuff. I think when guys first get here, they may be a little bit more fearful of contact or getting knocked around a little bit, so they get a little bit tentative. But I think that's been the biggest difference for a guy like Chagua in particular. You know, we've seen a much more aggressive approach early in the count, and he's getting, you know, some pretty positive feedback. You know, Beauchures was doing that well early. He kind of got away from it. Might have been related to that elbow issue a little bit, but he's back attacking. And I think as far as, you know, some of those other guys, you know, Wimmers, some of those people, they're learning that they have to trust their stuff here. You don't have to do things differently. Yes, you have to execute, but go ahead and, you know, you're here for a reason, and go ahead and use those pitches, and hopefully good things will happen.
Yeah, and that's certainly been a bright spot of late here, Paul. One note from last night's game, and we don't want to dwell just on one game, but Eddie Rosario had to leave that ball game after the slide at first base. He was shaking his hand. What do we know about Eddie and what exactly occurred? It looked almost like he might have slid into the spikes of the pitcher covering the bag.
Well, we're not totally 100% sure as far as the extent of the injury. We will have him re-examined and probably get some more pictures tomorrow when we get home. You know, there's not a lot of times where I'm an advocate of sliding into first base. There are times to avoid a collision, times to avoid being tagged. There's different things that come up. I thought it was a good effort on his part, but unfortunately, you know, you jam that hand into the ground, into the base, and sometimes a cleat, and, you know, there's just not a lot of give there. And so, you know, he was in a lot of pain, and, you know, we're hoping that it's not a season-ending deal, but we won't have all that information until tomorrow.
Paul, speaking of sliding into first, you know, I played with a guy that did it all the time, Chet Lemon, and so many times, same type of injury, jammed fingers, jammed thumbs, wrists, all that. It's scientifically been proven that you can run through the base faster than you can slide through the base. Give us an example of when it's a good time to slide in.
Well, you know, I used to teach in the minor leagues, Jack, if you're running down the line and there's a throw from the left side of the infield and you have, and you can peripherally see that it's going to take the first baseman off, and the big part of that slide is to make sure you recognize it early enough, because otherwise you can risk injury as well. But if you might want to slide under a potential tag on an errant throw, there are times when the first baseman might be feeding the pitcher and the pitcher is maybe a hair behind you, he's a little late to cover, and his best chance is going to be to tag you on the back. I like guys who can dive away to the outside corner of the base to make it a tougher tag. And then there's the plays where the first baseman might be taking the play on his own, and you guys are on a collision course. And if you can avoid a collision by hitting the ground, that might be another good time to try to think about that.
It's a Sunday morning in New York. We got the leaf blowers doing their thing here at Citi Field. Paul is here in the manager's office. Jack Morris back in studio at Target Field. This is the Paul Molitor Show, brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer. And we'll take our second time out. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about life here in the Big Apple, a trip to Citi Field for Paul after all those years in the American League, and a whole lot more. That's coming up. It's the Paul Molitor Show right here on your home for Twins baseball.
Welcome back to the Paul Molitor Show. Paul and Chris in New York at Citi Field. I'm Jack Morris here in the studio. Paul, one of the luxuries we get here to listen to some great music prior to the show coming on today. We had Bob Seger singing one of his best songs, Traveling Man, and Memories That Make You a Wealthy Soul. Give me an idea of your thoughts of New York. I know it's your first trip to Citi Field. Seems like players either love the Big Apple or can't stand it. There's rarely anything in between. But you got some great memories of New York?
Jack, I'm sure you have some as well. You come here year after year for, you know, your entire adult life, and there's going to be a lot of positives. There's certainly something unique about this city and the energy and, you know, the opportunities it provides in terms of entertainment and theater and restaurants and culture. Beautiful Central Park, which is continues amazes me how a park that size can sit in the middle of a city of almost 20 million people. But, you know, there's also the downside is, you know, something like last night when you have potential attacks on the people here and their safety. It's one of those targeted cities because of the size and the fact that everybody knows what's going on in New York. But some great baseball memories, playing against some great Yankee teams throughout the years and some of their great history, you know, back in the days. We played here in the playoffs way back in 1981 in the miniseries, and just some good memories. My first trip to Citi Field, first time I've ever been involved with baseball against the Mets except for spring training. Unfortunately, the first couple haven't gone our way, but hopefully we can find a way to win a day today. But obviously New York, it's a tremendous place.
You did manage to get in a double switch last night, though.
Well, it was, I thought about it prior to, Rosie hurting his hand, just how we were looking at proceeding forward. You know, when you have a lot of pitching out there, it's not as crucial, and we are a little bit limited, even though we are in September about options, but it was going to be a time where I was going to consider that, and then the injury just kind of confirmed it.
Yeah, Paul, you had to go deeper into the bullpen than obviously you would have liked. You get Kyle today. Now, Kyle was very, very good in Detroit, and he tries to back that up here today against a Mets team that hits a lot of home runs, though they don't necessarily score a ton of runs. What made Kyle so successful against a good Tigers lineup, and what does he have to do to have similar success against the Mets today?
Well, you know, we always talk about the aggressiveness of Kyle Gibson, trying to find ways to pound the zone and use the natural movement he's got on his two-seamer as well as that four-seamer when he needs to throw a strike. He's a guy that sometimes, I think, especially when he's behind, he's trying to make that perfect pitch, and a lot of times it just tails out of his zone, and then it kind of deteriorates from there. So I think the aggressiveness we saw in Detroit, he had a really good changeup that day. You know, his slider and changeup play, but it all comes off his fastball.
Paul, when I look back at Kyle's last start, I know he seemed to be on the ropes earlier in the ball game, bases-loaded situation, close ball game. And two outs, he got Jared Saltalamacchia to swing at three pitches out of the zone, got out of that jam, and from that point on, he was on cruise control. He was able to limit damage. The guys got him some runs, and he ended up pitching a strong game, got the win. What is it about him? Maybe we shouldn't just pick on him, but pitchers in general that have a tough time putting together back-to-back quality starts. Kyle's one of those guys that over his career has been really, really good on days that he's won and not so good on days that he hasn't won. And, I know you've been preaching consistency with him. What is it about him that limits him from doing that?
That's a question that we're trying to solve. Obviously you're going to have pitchers that kind of build reputations over time of being a guy that has value, but they're, if you're a 500 pitcher, it means you're going to have, as many bad days as good days. And we think Kyle still has another level that he hasn't quite been able to find in terms of elevating his game. You know, we had a nice talk the other day about some of the things about pitching and, my thoughts of a hitter and facing him and things that I think that would be effective just to try to improve his chances start to start. And, he's got the makeup to find that. It just hasn't happened yet. I think the other day in that Detroit situation, bases loaded, what can happen there is you get a big out and you stay away from potentially a big number by making pitches with two outs, getting off the field. You know, it snowballed the rest of that game, and you hope the confidence factor from doing something like that rolls in today.
I know we're jumping back and forth a little bit by talking about today's game and going back over the last week, but I want to talk a little bit about Jose Barrios, his outing I know that it doesn't look on paper like there was a lot of improvement. Did you see any that you noticed? And I don't think we should overlook the effort that you got out of Irvin Santana yesterday.
Well, I think in Jose's case, Jack, you know, we've tried some things to try to make his windup more efficient, less moving parts, just to try to improve consistency. And he was comfortable with trying something that Neil and Eddie suggested. And there were some positives there. Obviously, there were some misfires. He threw a ton of fastballs early. And, you know, it's you try something a little bit different, which is probably the right thing when you're having trouble finding results. And, you know, you gotta be patient through that. I'm hoping that with another good side, he'll come back and have a even better game for us next week. Irvin last night, you know, early on, he had the perfect innings early. It looked like he had a chance to do something special. They finally lined a base hit, but he kept the hits down. Really didn't have a lot of trouble to deal with until that last inning in the seventh there, and man, did he make some pitches. He made a 3-1 change on, I can't remember the hitter, that was just beautiful, and he came back and got him 3-2, and then with the bases loaded, they're throwing pinch hitters up there left and right. I was going to give him a chance to get out of the inning. He said he felt great, and sure enough, he was able to get us off the field. So it was a marvelous performance.
You know, Paul, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, he was in the middle of his windup when they wanted to throw a pinch runner out, and he got time called on him, and he was not happy looking into that Mets dugout. I'm not sure I've seen Irvin, who's a pretty stoic guy on the facade on the mound, I'm not sure I've seen him as fired up as he was after he got the strikeout following that with the bases loaded.
Well, you know, I think sometimes guys take those moves that are a little bit distracting and the timing of them a little bit personal. He was definitely into the game, and his focus was impeccable. You could just see pitch to pitch and how he was bearing down. And you get into a situation in a 1-0 game late, and you know, that could have thrown somebody off and got him off track. But I think it made him bear down all the more, and I think we saw a little bit of emotion out of him after he got the last out, which is a little bit untypical, but. You know, that's good to see it, because you know that even though he has that calm demeanor on the exterior, that he's very competitive internally.
Well, yeah, fire burning deep. And we got to take a timeout, Jack. We'll get right back to that when we return. We'll take our last break here within the show. We'll come back more from Jack. We'll see if we know anything about Gabriel Ynoa, who is scheduled to make his first big league start today for the Mets as well. This is the Paul Molitor Show. I'm your home for Twins baseball.
You're listening to the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Welcome back to the Paul Molitor Show. Paul's in New York. Paul, I got to ask you a little bit about this New York Mets pitching staff. You know, they've got some other big-name pitchers on the DL. Today's starter that was supposed to start, Jacob DeGrom, looks like he's going to be done for the year. And yet, their bullpen has got to be impressing you. It certainly has impressed me with what they've been able to do. Today you've got another guy that maybe you don't know a lot about. What do you have on the pitcher today, Ynoa?
Well, he doesn't have a lot of innings or batters faced in the big leagues this year. You know, you're still able to obtain video, some of his major league appearances and his minor league work. You know, he's a tall, slender right-hander who's got a little bit of giddy up. He's had some command issues, so you hope that your team can be patient. We're running out a pretty young lineup against them today, so you know, we'll have youth on the mound against some youthful hitters. We'll see who makes out, but you know, we're trying to find a way to salvage the game here. You talk about their bullpen, Jack. I think they got 38 or 39 people on their roster, which makes it pretty challenging to try to find your way through the matchups late in the game, because you can always be countered when you have that many people. But the guys that have been doing the majority of their work, the Blevins is their left-hander they use the most, and Familia and Reed, we've seen the the last couple nights. So despite the fact they've had some injuries to their rotation, they still seem to be finding a way to get it done.
Yeah, Familia's thrown a lot of pitches, more than likely would not be a guy Terry Collins would hope to have to go to here today. You've got a new addition in your dugout, and it's not a player. Chad Allen was here. Great to see Chad around. He came up from Rochester and now from Chattanooga. Doug Mankiewicz joins you guys in the dugout. When you bring up a coach from the minor leagues, and you've got a lot of guys that they've managed in the minor leagues over the course of the year, what kind of information are you looking for from those guys, and how do they integrate into your staff?
Well, I think primarily you bring up coaches and maybe another trainer or strength coach in the fall to just kind of manage the numbers. these guys obviously both big league time, Chad and Doug, and so it's not something that they're not familiar with. You know, I took some time with Chad and kind of went through the AAA roster and some people that I want to talk about and who I might want to keep my eye on as potentially filling roles down the road. And it's the same way with Doug. And you combine that with the fact that they've had a lot of our players over the past couple of years, so they're familiar. You know, you get another set of eyes on a hitter or something. And, you know, you have conversations on what they remember about them when they had them and how they've changed or what kind of adjustments maybe we can consider. It's just more knowledge, guys that know our players, and hopefully they can provide some input as well as taking away some of the workload.
All right, and hopefully you guys can grab that win today. Paul, thanks for joining us here today.
You guys have a good Sunday.
Thank you, Paul. Have a good day.
All right, Jack, that's going to wrap it up. We managed to piece it together with three people in three very different spots. Great show, as always. And you go ahead and keep that chair warm till we get home after the game tonight, all right?
It's waiting for you, kiddo.
All right, for Jack Morris and Paul Molitor, this has been the Paul Molitor Show, brought to you by Killer Brew Root Beer. A whole lot more to come across the network all day long, right here on your home, Twins Baseball.
You have been listening to the Paul Molitor Show, sponsored by Killebrew Root Beer, made in Minnesota. It's how memories are created and legends are made.
This has been a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.